Exodus chapter 9 tonight, Exodus 9. And here we have a situation where Moses and the people of Israel are in the land of Egypt. They're in the land of Egypt. They've been taken. They went down there in the drought, famine, and they stayed there. And now it was time for the Lord to bring them out. And as we know, the old Pharaoh, he was not happy to let them go. Pharaoh was an atheist. He did not believe in God. And when things started to happen, he started to panic. Look at verse 22 of chapter 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward the heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous. Verse 25, and that the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, going on down, and Pharaoh sent and called in verse 27 Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned at this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. That was true. Even the ungodly get convicted sometimes about their sin. Verse 28, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more hail, no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail. And here it is, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. Well, we're here for a prayer meeting, and here's a good illustration of Moses and his prayer unto the Lord. I wonder, when we come together to pray, do we have the faith that Moses had? And do we pray to the Lord expecting, as soon as we're finished praying, God is going to do what he said he will do? God had to teach Pharaoh a lesson. Pharaoh needed to learn who was in charge. Pharaoh thought that he was in charge. Pharaoh thought that he was the greatest power on earth. He had a great land, and he exercised great authority, and so forth. And he was not willing to allow these people to return to the place where God wanted them to go. He did not recognize that there was more involved. And so, through prayer, God sent this terrible hail and thunderings and all the rest of it, a massive storm. And God was trying to teach Mr. Pharaoh this lesson, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. Quickly over to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 26. Here we see this New Testament truth as well, where God is seen here in his ownership of all things. And this message tonight is about recognizing God's ownership, recognizing God's ownership. Chapter 10 and verse number 26. 10:26, 1 Corinthians. The earth, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we are here to bring glory to the God of creation. The earth is the Lord's by way of creation, initially and firstly. Well, the earth in verse 28 is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, that you see in this earth. Oh, that you see across the landscape. Oh, that you see as you look out into the heavens. It is created by our great and mighty God. He is a powerful and mighty God. And he has put all this there for us to enjoy. What a great God that he is. What a wonderful God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says, and the wealth in every mine. We see that he gives wealth to those that he will. He shares his beautiful creation with men and women. We should acknowledge tonight that it is the Lord's. All that we have in our has come from the hand of the Lord. And that we can ask God concerning the things on this scene. We can pray for weather. We can pray for the blessings of God to fall in situations. We can ask God, and God is willing and wanting to do that. Why? That thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. He wants to show men and women that he is Lord. Of course, we're praying on Saturday for good weather, that men and women might know that God is the Lord. The Lord is the one who created all things. The tithe is the Lord's. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's, by way of rightfulness concerning creation. We know then that the Bible is the Lord's. The Bible is the word of the Lord. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 47. John 8:47. Recognizing tonight the things that are the Lord's. This Bible is God's word. It's not yours to twiddle with and tamper with. It's not there for the modern scholars to take out the parts that they don't like and to make things different and make changes to the word of God. That's an abomination. And God will judge those that are involved in that kind of thing. And the King James Bible is properly translated and is the word of God in the English language. We don't need to be looking anywhere else. We need to be learning to enjoy our King James Bible. It is the word of the Lord. John 8:47. John 8:47. And we've got the Lord Jesus speaking. John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God's. People that are not of God, they're not spiritually discerned. They cannot understand. And what they need to do is not tamper God's word and make it easier to read. They need to get born again. Amen? They need to become new creatures in Christ so that they can understand spiritual truth, the Spirit of God entering in and teaching them. It is the Word of God, the very Word of God, and we can enjoy it as such. Jesus acknowledged the Word of God, and so should we. Look at verse 31 of chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is God's word. Amen. God's message to you. God's love letter to your life and heart, and he wants you to hear his word and to respond to his word. Our Lord Jesus then spoke, and he gave the very word of God, and we have it recorded here in our Bible. Thank God for the word of God, the encouragement of the word of God. It is inspired by God, and it is given to us for our learning. It's there for doctrine. Go to chapter 7, John 7, verse 17, the doctrine of God. God has doctrine. We need to have the doctrine of God. Jesus said in verse 16 of chapter 7, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Doesn't that blow your mind? Jesus said the doctrine is the Father's. It is his doctrine. And he came to share and manifest doctrine, his doctrine to us in his life and in his teaching and in the recorded word. If any man will do his will, that's another thing. God has a will for us to discover and to enjoy. Are you in the will of God? That's a question to ask, isn't it? But he has a will and purpose and plan for our lives, and we need to be in the will of God. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So check it out, test it out. He spoke always and only the word of God. He spoke the truth. The Bible is the word of God, and it has sound doctrine. That is the simple teachings that you discover in the word of God as you may take a subject and look through and notice everything that God says about that particular thing. And you can take whatever thing you like. Take salvation, for instance. Look through at every text that is about salvation. Not only just the word salvation, but the doctrine of salvation. It is also then the Spirit of God that works within our lives and in our hearts to accomplish God's will and God's purpose over in John chapter 14. Isn't John full of theology? It is full of good doctrine. It is full of sound teaching. And we can enjoy that. It's not so complicated. Read it, study it, and you'll be blessed. You might even be able to pass some exams that the different lecturers are setting. Amen? That'd be good. It is the Spirit of God that is going to teach and help you to remember the things that you have been learning. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Comforter has come and he is dwelling within us. How wonderful that is to know the precious Comforter of God and that he is the Spirit of the Lord. Just in passing, when we think about the love of God, we think that love is of God, for God is love. Chapter 15 there in verse number 9. The things that are of God, the things that are God. Here it is, my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. It's not the right verse. 15 and verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. True love comes from God. God is love. He is essentially love. And he shared that love with us in Jesus Christ. And he wants us to look to Calvary, that place where his love was manifest, where Jesus died for our sins, gave his precious blood to save us from the penalty of sin, a devil's hell, and to give us eternal life. And what a wonderful Savior is the Lord Jesus. Let me recommend the Savior and his wonderful love. You will not find love anywhere apart from the Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. People have searched this world and tried all manner of things trying to find love. Love is only found in the person of God and in the Lord Jesus. Let me remind you tonight, love is of God. He loves you. Believer in Christ, do you need more love? You can ask for it. Ask for more love, and the Father will give you that love. It is his love manifest in us. Preachers in, we won't look at this one, 1 Corinthians 17:22. Preachers are called men of God, that the man of God, the Bible says, might be equipped in different places. That's not quoting a verse, but remember the preacher that God gives the local church is the man of God. And you know that we praise God that he has given a man of God and a soul-winning man of God that loves the souls of men and women. If you don't love a soul-winning pastor, then there's something wrong with your love, because you are very cold and hard when it comes to others. And that's what the ministry is all about, isn't it? That wonderful love of the Lord. being manifest to sinners. We find then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, there's a practical one here, Revelation 1:10. So a little bit like a fruit salad tonight of this, as we think about this subject, God's ownership. God's ownership. He's the creator. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He is the creator. He gave you life. And here we find that the man of God is seeking the Lord's face. And we find in chapter 1 of Revelation and verse number 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira and Sardis, unto Philadelphia and Laodicea. A message was to be going forward. But I want you to notice verse number 10, and we need to get this right in our own minds and thinking in this modern day. Because people read this verse, the Lord's day is my day. I'll do with it whatever I want. And don't you preach it, put your nose in my business. Well, why don't you come along on the Lord's day? Well, I'm under grace. Every day is God's day. Hold on a minute. This was a particular and designated time that he spoke about, the Lord's day. This was already established well in the churches, because they were meeting on the Lord's day. Why were they meeting on the Lord's day? Because it was the day of resurrection. Amen. Christ rose again from the dead. It's not a day of the old law and salvation by law. It's a day of salvation by grace. But the Lord calls it, it is called by the apostle, the Lord's day. And if anybody knew what this meant, he knew what it meant. Now, when the Lord made heaven and earth, he made time. He gave morning and evening. They were the first day, and so it goes on. He established the week. This was not accidental, amen? There was not nothing of a big bang here. It was God's organization of all things. And God created the heaven and earth, and he made that with a 7-day week. The French have called it now, and a lot of social planners are working on an 8-day or a 10-day week. 10-day because of decimal, you know. Wow, that really suits the family, doesn't it? When does the father spend time with his children? In those modern ways of working out time, they've got it all wrong. Thank God also, by the way, for your Christian heritage in this land, we have a weekend. Okay, New Zealand is the land of the great white long cloud. Australia is the land of the great long weekend, amen? Hallelujah. But I like Saturday and Sunday. God made both of them. And these are the results of our Christian heritage. There is a Christian heritage that we have in this land. And God made Sunday. God made this day, the 8th day, the first day of the week, the day of newness. Now, my granddaughter up in Brizzy, she's got a few learning difficulties, but at her special kindergarten, she had on the board, they had on the board the days of the week. All right? So they wanted her to be able to tell them about the days of the week or something they wanted her to do. So the first thing that she did was go up to the board and move the Sunday up from the last day of the week up to the first day of the week. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. She might have some learning difficulties, but the Spirit of God got that one right. I wonder if you got it right, by the way, however. Or is it just another day for you to enjoy and do your thing? And, you know, you got to have a bit of time out sometime. Got to sleep in sometime. You got 6 other days, amen? What's wrong with you? You've got 6 other days. What's wrong with acknowledging the Lord's day? And this man of God was in the Spirit. He was in a place of worship and adoration of the Lord God. And that's where God spoke to him. Would to God that believers who were out on the road, and I know a believer who was out on the road on Sunday doing his thing, and he ran into a tree. He was gone to glory straight away. Never have to work out the Lord's day anymore. Curtains. The Lord said, that's it. Enough messing around. Are you serious with God? I love the Lord's day. It is the Lord's day. And I come together with the Lord's people, and I hear the Lord's man speak, and I rejoice in and I give the Lord his money, amen. And then the Lord's people fellowship me, amen. They fellowship all over me, and they go home feeling better, amen. Hallelujah for the Lord's day. I love the Lord's day. And ever since I was saved, nobody had to teach me about the Lord's Day. The Holy Spirit taught me, and I read the Bible, and I got taught that way. Hallelujah. Did I ever enjoy the Lord's Day when I was first saved and being around the Lord's people? Mum would be goofing off this way. She didn't know the Lord. Dad would be goofing off that way. There'd be no one at home. It was a very dull and boring weekend. I used to put four radios on, one in every corner of the room. I had quadraphonic sound on the old rock and roll, and I would turn it up loud. Well, they weren't home, amen? What kids do. And what a dull and boring life that was. Then I met the Lord. Amen. On the Lord's Day, I met the Lord. Sunday evening, I went along to an evening service. Hallelujah for evening services. I'm better at night than I am in the morning, so you're going to have to tell me when to stop. Well, tonight, I'll tell you what, this is like Sunday. Amen. What a good crowd. Praise God that you've come out tonight for the Lord, for his glory and for prayer. We need it. We need it desperately. So it is that it is the Lord's Day. You're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You can hear the Lord speaking. You can spend time in the Word and in your own prayer time, Sunday afternoon. I study Sunday afternoon. I do two kinds of study. I study my eyelids from inside. Then spend some time in the Word of God, especially if I'm preaching. Hallelujah for the Lord's Day. Make it a special day. Make it a special day. We learned a song when we got to Brisbane. There's something different in the air. It's Sunday. I come to lose my worry and care on Sunday. And so the song goes on. It's Sunday, it said in the chorus over and over again. Do you understand what Sunday is all about? I don't think a lot of believers do. I don't think they've got it. Need to look at and meditate upon what John the Apostle said. I tell you what, is he ever glad that he met the Lord? This beautiful vision of Christ that he sees, and then the revelation of the future events. That's wonderful. I want you to go now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 3 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 3 and 23. The message now gets a little bit more personal. 1 Corinthians 3 and 23, in relation to you and I. Who do you belong to? Whose are you? You know, I was talking to a fellow one day, and he said, I'm a pretty much a self-made man. I said, really? I said, well, if God didn't want you to have what you've got, you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have it. God's been merciful to you. God has shown his mercy. You need to acknowledge him in that. Chapter 3 and verse number 16. 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? Now this is speaking to believers. You and I that know Christ. We are called the temple of God, because when we receive Christ, he comes and lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. Whose temple is it? God's. God's. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We are regarded by God as his temple. That means that we belong to the Lord. The ownership is of the Lord. As the Lord's, we are the Lord's people. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God wants his temple to be a holy place. He wants it to be free of iniquity, sins of shortcomings and failings. He doesn't want us to be continuing to give that excuse, the devil made me do it or the flesh made me do it. He wants our lives to be holy. And the Lord knoweth them that are his. You are his. His sanctuary to dwell in you and to live and work in and through you. He's a wonderful God and you belong to him. Because you belong to him and he has ownership upon you, he promises to look after you and to keep you, and you can trust him for that in your life as a Christian, that the Lord is going to keep you and he's going to bless you and work in you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And some of these verses are good memory verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, to remind us, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Yourself doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, and we should recognize that. It belongs to God, number one, by creation. Number two, by redemption through the precious price of our Lord Jesus' blood. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A young lad and his dad made a beautiful yacht which sailed down the river, and the wind took it away and it disappeared down the river. He was downtown and he passed by a pawn shop where you could buy things back, and he saw his little boat right there. Said, how much do you want for the boat? And he went and paid the money and got the boat back. He redeemed the boat. The price of our redemption is the precious Lord Jesus Christ. He redeemed you back to himself. Your body belongs to him. And what's it for? To glorify God. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Do you recognize God's ownership by creation and God's ownership of you, your life, by the precious redeeming blood? If you've received Christ, that's where you are. If you haven't received the Lord, you're not there. You're not among the Lord's, and there is awaiting for you a judgment for failing to recognize and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, then there is the Lord's side that's spoken of in Exodus chapter 32:26. There is also the cup of suffering spoken of in Luke 22:42, if you want to get these down. There's the Lord's church spoken of in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and other places throughout the New Testament. In Luke chapter 19, verse 46, the Lord's house is spoken of there, which is made up of the believers. These are the things that are the Lord's. There is the Lord's hand that moves mightily upon his children to perform his will and purposes. The Lord's will. Are you submitted to the Lord's will? Have you yielded to the Lord's will? Do you submit to the Lord's will on things? Do you delight in God's will? Are you dead to self and your own selfish way of looking at your life? It's time that we recognize the ownership of God in our lives and we let him have his will and way with us. Let's pray.